Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who thinks Wall Street could learn a thing or two about how business is done on Main Street.
Well, if the good Lord don't like the way I conduct business, let him say something. Let him give me a sign.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. We got a outstanding show lined up for you straight ahead with our good friend Michael Salzman. Michael's back. He's a VP of Berman & Company and research expert on things going on in the workplace, especially in the area of minimum wage and tipping and things like that, relationships between, especially financial relationships between employee and employer. And he's our good friend and an eight-year member of our Brain Trust, Michael Salzman. Welcome back.
Hey, Jim, always great to be here.
It's good to have you back. So tell us where things are with in the world of tipping. I've been reading where some business owners are actually telling people they actually have a policy of no tipping. What's going on out there across the landscape?
Yeah, you know, so there's some markets, you know, as you've been following on your show, there are some markets where, you know, where the minimum wage, especially the minimum wage that applies to full-service restaurants, has risen pretty dramatically in recent years. And it's created, I think, some difficulties for full-service restaurants who sort of find out that they're having to give essentially their best-paid employees, their tipped employees, you know, a raise each year, and it hasn't left money over for the back of the house. And so they've explored these sort of no tipping
policies. Now, slow down a minute. When you say hasn't left money over for the back of the house, people might not realize what you just said and what that means. Tell us about what that means.
Yeah, so, you know, in the restaurants, they talk sometimes about the front of the house and the back of the house. Back of the house being the folks who may be cooking the food, washing the dishes. And so if in a full-service restaurant where you got really narrow profit margins, if most of your money is going to employees who are already earning far more than the minimum wage and tips, it creates a situation where there's less money left over to fund raises for folks elsewhere in the restaurant.
So customers are helping to pay the waiter, the waitress, with their tips. And the employee who are getting a lower minimum wage because they are being augmented with tips, but if the government comes in and raises that minimum wage, and the tips stay the same, then that raise in minimum wage comes right out of the company pocket, which, as you say, then can't be used to pay the people in the back of the house who are not getting the benefit of any of the waitress or waiter's tips.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
all right. Now go ahead.
So it can be a little bit of a wonky issue, but it's become a really big debate as you have some restaurants that say, "Well, let's try out a no tipping policy." And so in this case, any money that would have gone to a server for their tips, instead the owner's saying, "Well, let's just try and raise prices." And we'll say no tips, and then the money that's left over can be, you know, more equitably distributed, in the words of the people who are supporting this, around the restaurant. For those of you who have eaten at Shake Shack, there's a guy named Danny Meyer who you might be familiar with. He sort of tried to popularize this model.
Right.
But the interesting thing is, Jim, is it has turned out to be pretty unpopular with servers. Danny Meyer lost about 40% of his veteran staff, after he tried this, because the servers realized that I'm earning a lot more if you pay me a lower base wage tips than I am if you pay me, let's say, a flat $15.
And this is where the government getting involved in that dynamic just creates problems for everybody.
It does. And, you know, you and I have talked about the minimum wage debate for years, and what's really remarkable about this particular debate is that the employees themselves have actually been the most vocal spokespeople against this change. You've had thousands of servers who have organized around the country and said, hey, look, don't give us this raise. Don't try and help us. The status quo works really well for us. Leave our income alone.
How many times have citizens sang that lament? Oh, please, government, don't help me anymore. I can't handle any more help from you, government.
That's right. Yeah, and I think in this case that what the servers understand intuitively what the politicians do not,
right,
which is that if you move them to a system that's a no-tipping system, not only does it hurt their income, but, I mean, if you talk to folks who work in a full-service restaurant, the benefit for them is, you know, let's say if you're a mom with a couple of kids, you can work on a Friday or Saturday night and earn the same income then that it would take you a couple days to earn in
exactly.
just a standard job.
Exactly. Hold on to that thought. Michael Sarsman and I will be right back. We're going to talk about the minimum wage for everybody after the break. There's some changes, I think. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.